Amen. It's all right to have a little fun. You're relaxed. It'll be fine. All right. Acts chapter 11. Here's the not fun part. I'll preach at you. Acts chapter 11. It's fun for me anyways. I don't know if anybody else will enjoy. But Acts chapter 11, if you would, and then grab Luke as well. Luke chapter 9. Acts chapter 11 and Luke chapter 9. I will say this, I am purposely not in Daniel chapter 7 tonight. So if you came here hoping for Daniel chapter 7, next week is Brother Spurgeon. And then I get a regular week again where I can preach. And then the week after that's the bonfire. And the week after that's youth rally weekend. And so my answer was, I am not starting on the four beasts in Daniel chapter 7 and starting into all that prophecy this week, just so next week you can all forget what I said. And then the following week, I have to recap all of it and I just preach the same message over again so we can all remember it, so that you can all forget it the week of the bonfire. See? So we're just gonna put that on pause for a couple of weeks. We'll get it back, but I said that. That's pointless. I'm just going to keep saying the same things every other week for however long. So that's too complicated to not do it back-to-back weeks. So we're gonna get there, all right? But Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 9. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19. Speaking of the apostles, he says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Luke chapter 9, we'll just grab two verses here. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking in verse number 23, and he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And so I almost preached this morning. The Lord kind of switched things up on me, and I didn't even think I was going to preach it tonight. I thought this one was just kind of wiped away, and I was going to be doing something different, but I just kept coming back around to this. I preached something similar maybe 3-4 years ago, and I want to look at the characteristics of disciples. You get these guys there in Acts chapter 11, and the first time they're called Christians is at Antioch, and they're disciples of the Bible, of the Scriptures, and of Jesus Christ in particular. And here Jesus Christ gives them the admonition here in Luke chapter 9. He had already said this unto them. He says, "Hey, if you're going to come after me and follow me, you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to choose some things." And what I have found is that oftentimes there are people in the world who would love to proclaim the name Christian. They would love to have the moniker. They love to grab a necklace and put a cross on it, hang it around their neck. They would love to identify somehow with the idea of Jesus. But they're not a real disciple. They're not a real follower of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it gives you the exact statement of Jesus Christ on if you're going to follow him, what's going on right here. We know from Acts chapter 11 that Barnabas was a man who followed the Lord. And the people that he trained, he goes and he gets Saul, right? We know later he's Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. They all get together, and by the time they get together in Antioch and everybody's there, they go, man, those guys are Christians over there. It was a badge of honor, but it was a badge of persecution then. Today, for us, it's not a persecution complex for us. You're not getting really persecuted for being a Christian. Not here in America. We've got some things, and there's this and that, and you might get made fun of at work for standing up for the Lord or at school or whatever. You may get a little ridicule if you're out witnessing, or you may get something like that, but we don't get persecuted like, you know, crucified in the literal sense. We're not getting burned at the stake and drawn and quartered. That's not what's happening to us. We're not facing those kind of things. If you wore the moniker of a Christian in this day, right here in Acts chapter 11, you were an enemy of the state of Israel. You were on the wrong side of the ruling class in the nation of Israel. Here, you got politicians all over the place that say they're Christians. You say, Donald Trump's a Christian. I don't know about that. His own statement is he's not going to heaven. So you do what you want. Is he a Christian? Is he a saved man? I have no idea. There's all sorts of weirdness. You say, I would say no. And somebody says, I would say yes. I would say I have no idea. I hope he is. I hope that he's going to heaven. But I mean, he is the president of the United States. I would hope any of our presidents would be saved men. That's just how it should be. That's why we pray for those that have authority over us. Say, but, you know, what does he do? Well, he'll invoke God whenever he'd like to slide that in. Presidents in years past have dedicated days of prayer and talked about us being a Christian nation and all sorts of things. And were those men Christians? I don't know. Certainly not all of them were. You see, being a real disciple of Jesus Christ, being a real Christian, is all about Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And the trouble is, most people in the world would love to name the name of Christ, but they have never done anything with Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And so tonight, that's where we're going to be. We're going to look right there, and we're going to go phrase by phrase through Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the night. I pray you would grant me wisdom, Lord, as I open the pages of a Bible tonight. As we look at these things, I pray that you would be pleased with what is said, that you'd be praised by what is said, and that, Father, you'd be honored and glorified. We pray, Lord, if someone here doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that tonight would be the night they'd call upon him. But Lord, I believe most of the people, if not all of them, are saved that are in here tonight, that are of age and understanding. And Lord, I pray that they would realize that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not a halfway thing. It's not a partial thing. It's an all or nothing thing. And Father, I do pray you would just help us to choose the right thing. Choose us this day whom we will serve. And Lord, I pray that tonight some would make that choice if they haven't already. Lord, bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He says here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me. Well, the first thing you find out is that if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you've got to have some sort of a desire to do it. He starts that, if any man. Now, he'll take anybody. That's the best part. The Lord doesn't need you to be spectacular in everybody else's eyes. You see, God didn't choose the greatest and the best. He doesn't go ahead and make it so that, you know, if you didn't finish as valedictorian of your class, he's not going to take you. Instead, his answer is, anybody wants it? Anybody? Anybody? Does anybody want to follow me? If any man, well, that means you're going to want to have to follow him. Because I'll tell you this, it's not going to be easy to follow him. In fact, he looks at some men and he says, hey, I don't have a place to lay my head. You expect anything better? He says, hey, you know what? If you're not gonna hate father and mother and brethren more than me, well, then you're not worthy to follow me. That takes some desire. You're going to want him more than anything else. The trouble is, most people, they want themselves. They want their friends. They want their life. They want their own lifestyle. They want the things that they want, and they have no regard for what God would want. Because they don't really want him. At the end of the day, if you're not going to be a disciple, what you've chosen ultimately is anything but Jesus. I want anything but Jesus. I mean, I wouldn't put it that way. Of course you wouldn't put it that way. That makes you look bad. But that's what you've chosen. Well, yeah, but I'm not that. I don't have the education that you have, and I don't have all these things. None of that's in the verse. Well, you know, I didn't grow up in church like you did, and I didn't have this, and I didn't have. That's not what he said. Salvation was for whosoever will, let him come, take a drink of the water of life freely. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and he that is athirst, let him come, take a drink of the water. You can, whoever it is, just can come and get salvation, and whoever wants to can come and follow him. He'll save you, and then he'll let you follow him. You say, well, you know, I'm not really all that smart. That's fine. He didn't need anybody that was smart. He's got enough wisdom for you. He'll take care of it. Well, you know, I'm just not as strong as some other people. Okay, well, he made the weak things to confound the mighty. He's fine with that. Well, you know, I can't get around like I used to. He doesn't need you to get around like you used to. He'll take you right where you are and how you are. He doesn't need you to be spectacular because he is so amazing that when you're weak, he's strong. So all of our excuses and all the things we slide in, like it's going to matter that what we bring to the table is not enough, his answer is, I'm more than enough to fill the rest of that. Whatever you're lacking, he has. That's always how it's been. That's why his answer is, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He supplies what you can't have. We go, I don't have that. And he goes, that's fine, I do.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
What does he not have? He has everything.
Amen.
So then he has everything you need to do what he asks you to do. But you have to desire to have it. The day you got saved, you wanted it. You decided, hey, I don't want to burn in a lake of fire for all of eternity. I want a Savior, so I'll choose Jesus. He said he was the Savior. I want him for salvation. Okay, do you want to be sanctified? Do you want to live clean? Do you want to live right? You've got to want to. We deal with people all the time and addictions and problems and sin and troubles and all the things that you can pile up. And we look at them and the first thing we tell them is, do you want to? If you don't want to stop doing what you're doing, you'll find a way to do it. If it hasn't cost you enough yet, then you're going to keep doing what you're doing. You haven't figured out that it's not worth it. And so you're going to want to do all the wrong things. Okay, do you want to get clean yet? Do you want to live right yet? Are you bothered enough by the things that if any man, say it's a desire. What do you desire in your life? Do you desire him in your life? Paul's great statement in Philippians chapter 3 is that I may know him. He says, man, all those things that were gained to me, all the life that I had, the, you know, of the stock of Benjamin, of the, you know, and all the things. He says, all those things that were gained, I count them loss. And actually, I count them less than loss. I count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know what I find? Americans especially, we've got too much. So we don't think we need him quite that much. Well, I have all these things. And his answer is, yeah, but I'm better than all those things. In comparative, you have to figure out that everything else is dung. Pile of manure. The greatest things this world has to offer are worthless compared to him. But if your desire is to still have whatever you want, then you won't be a disciple. Because you've replaced him with whatever. It doesn't matter if it's your family. It doesn't matter if it's a job. It doesn't even matter if it's the church and the ministry. If you've replaced all the work with him, you got the wrong thing. You want him. I'm not a disciple of Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church. I'm not holding to that. I'm holding to him.
Amen.
Those are two very different things.
Right.
The ministry is what he asks me to do. But I do the ministry because I want him. It's not the other way around. I don't do the ministry so I can have him.
Right.
And if you do it that way, you'll be backwards every single time. If you're going, well, I'm going to do all these things so that God can appear to me and I can impress him, you've got it backwards. You need him to do any of the work that you do. It's more about him than it is about anything else.
Amen.
You need him. If any man, say, okay, all right. Well, I want that. I desire that. Okay. If any man will, come after me. Well, then there's a decision that has to be made. You have to choose to do something with it. You have to choose to come after him. You have to start going, okay, this is what Jesus Christ is, so that's what I want to be. Oftentimes, people make decisions on what they don't want, not based upon what they do want. So what do you mean by that? They can eliminate options, and then they just choose one of the other ones. They go, I don't want this, and I don't want this, and I don't want this. I'll take any one of these. You do it for dinner sometimes, don't you? Right? I don't want Mexican. I just had that, you know, and I don't want this, and I don't want that, and I don't, I mean, we had hot dogs, you know, and we had this, and so, I mean, and they go, well, do you want this? And you go, I don't not want it, so I guess that'll work. You ever thought that? Right? Isn't that the great compromise of marriage some days? I don't not want that. Like, at least that's not on my negatives list. And you know, most Christians, you know their answer is? Well, I mean, at least I'm not doing those things over there. At least I'm not, you know, I'm not following the world. I'm not murdering people, and I'm not stealing stuff, and I'm not. And I don't do these things, so I'm good. Is that really following the Lord? Or is that just, these are the things that I don't do? If your list is just made up of things you don't do, you aren't following anything. You're just abstaining. You're neutral. You're doing nothing. Anybody can stand there and do nothing. We live in a world today full of people who don't want to do anything. They just stand there. Or they sit on their sofa, and the only thing that they do is raise their arm to hit a button on a remote control to go ahead and watch whatever's next on Netflix. Is that how you live your Christian life? Is there any desire? And is there any choice? You're not going to accidentally follow the Lord.
Right.
I know of zero people in the world who have ever accidentally followed the Lord. Now, they have stumbled upon sin. They have wandered their way over too close and then realized I'm not in a good place and then found out, man, I don't even know what happened, but here I am, and they're in a hog pen. Because they wasted everything that they had and they ended up way over there and they went, I don't even know how I got here. I have yet to meet a Christian who is serving the Lord actively, doing what they're supposed to do, trying to live for the Lord, trying to fight their way in, and they get over there and they go, boy, I just don't even know how I got this close to the Lord. Every one of them goes, well, I had to choose back there. I had to choose to lose those friends and to lose those people and to quit doing this and to quit doing that. I had to choose to leave those things behind, and I had to choose that He is more important. I'm going to choose to follow what He wants me to do. If any man will come after me, you got to choose.
Right.
You had to choose Him for salvation. You know what you have to do? You have to choose that you're going to serve Him.
Amen.
You have to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You have to choose. If you're going to follow Him, it's a choice, and it's a choice every single time.
Right.
And if you're not making any choices, I'll tell you this, you're making the wrong choice.
Right.
Our automatic default setting is not God's side. Since when do we ever choose Him on accident? You have to consciously choose to have Him. He says, He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There must be some desire. There has to be a decision. And you know what? There has to be some denials. We don't like this. This is the worst part. We can get behind the idea of, man, the Lord is important. He's preeminent. I can trust Him. I know He's amazing. He's great. Of course, I would love the Lord and I want Him. Of course, I would choose the Lord. And then he goes, okay, but if you're going to choose me, you have to deny you. Some of you parents in here, you can relate to this. I am good at telling my kids no. I actually like it a little bit some days. Right? Right? We're like, no. You've been annoying me all day. I'm telling you no today. That's what you get. You get no. Every question you ask me is just going to be no because you frustrated me all day today. Right? I'm good at telling my kids no. I really am. Even Mayla. She's adorable, but man, I can still tell her no. Melanie's amazed. She thought, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that one. I can. I tell her no. She hates it. She absolutely hates it. Okay, but here's the trouble. We're good at telling other people no. How good are you at telling yourself no? No, you can't have that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't go there. No, you can't. Think about that. No, you can't. I'm not as good at that. If you're honest, you're not as good at that. Because we like what we like. And we like to, as much as we know that we're not supposed to please our flesh and to let our flesh have a lot, we let our flesh slide on too much. And we don't deny it enough. You know what could do you some good? It's done me some good in the past, would do me good if I did it more often. Just have a day where everything your flesh wants, you just tell it no, no matter what it is. It wants to eat, you tell it no. Have a day to fast. Fasting's in the Bible. It's not a bad thing. Your flesh says, I'll pick up the phone, check it every time it goes off. No, just leave it there. Turn it off. Put it on silent. Throw it in a trash can. Whatever. Snap it in half. I don't know. Whatever you got to do. Toss it, you know. Leave it in your pocket and go on one of the water rides outside real quick, Brother Andrew. Amen. He did that earlier. He forgot it was in his pocket. He said, Lord, I hope my phone's not trashed. I don't want to buy another one. Amen. So what I got to do? I don't know what it is you've got to do, but your flesh wants it, and you know that it always seems to want it, and you know it's starting to become an inconvenient thing, and it's starting to become a thing where it's having dominion over you. Maybe you ought to just say, hey, no, I'm just not letting you have it at all today.
Right.
We're not doing that at all. You don't need that, and you don't need that, and you don't need that. Guess what? You won't die. Okay? You'll be fine. And just deny yourself. We live in a self-gratifying age today.
Right.
It is an instant society. It is a society where if I want it, I get it. I get it now. If I don't have it, I just get it from Amazon and the overnight delivery. I'll have it in the morning between 4 and 8 a.m. It will be at my doorstep. When I get out of bed, it'll probably already be here at 5 a.m. You can go out and get it. Why? You seriously need it that badly? Instant gratification. We have microwaves and we have this and we have that. Nobody can wait for anything. Everything in our society is designed to get it faster. I mean, it was so bad at one point, right? You get your 10-minute workout video, and then it was a 9-minute workout video, and we can get it done at 8, right? They just kept going down by 1 minute. We don't know. At this point, they're like, it's a 30-second video. And we're like, did it do anything for me? No, it didn't, but that's fine. You did a 30-second workout. You're great. Now you can feel good about you. That's the society we live in. It's all about me, instant gratification for me. What can I get for me? Every advertisement is about you and what you would want. Everything is geared, and now they're doing algorithms and all the things so that everything that goes on your screen is geared just for you on what you would look up. All your searches and all the things, you ever notice all your ads follow along with anything that you looked up? Even if you looked up one random thing for no apparent reason, suddenly you have 45 different ways to buy that. You weren't going to buy it anyways, but now you've got 45 different ads for you to do just for you. It's all about you. And the Lord says, well, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny you. You've got to tell yourself no on the things that you want. You know, it's easy to tell yourself no on the things you don't really want. That's easy, right? You come in here, you know, growing up, you grew up in church like I did. You know, you never had any alcohol. I'm going to say no to drugs and alcohol. You weren't denying yourself anything. That's not a self-denial. You didn't want any of that. It's the things that you want, that the Lord looks at you and he says, I don't want you to have that. Can you deny it? Can you go, I don't want that anymore? I want him. All the things that he has are more important to me than the things that I want. That's a disciple. That's coming after and following him. All the things I count it dung that I may win Christ. Self-righteousness, selfishness, self-will, self-driven. The Lord's down there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's on his face going, not my will, but thine be done. You going to follow him there? Deny self and say, okay, I'll do it his way. He says in verse 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. This is a dedication right here. This is when I was praying earlier. This is not a one time, one moment. I followed the Lord for 5 minutes and then I get to choose a different way. It's a dedication. Every day. Paul's statement about it is, I die daily. It's a daily moment. I would go even further than saying daily. I mean, it's every moment to choose his way. One of the greatest descriptors of a cross was just very simply put, where two ways meet. My way and his way. And if I'm going to take up the cross, I'll take his way. And I'll eliminate my way. Okay? You got to do that. How many times do you have to do that? In the morning, you wake up and you go, okay, Lord, I'm going to do things your way. I'm going to do things your way. And you mean it, right? I hope. You mean it. You go, Lord, I'm going to do it your way today. We're going to get it. And then maybe that lasts an hour. I'll give you some credit, right? Goes an hour, 2 hours. And you get to a spot and you realize, I really want to do this, but I know the Lord doesn't want me to do that. Okay, take up your cross. Deny yourself and do what he asked you to do. That's the two parts right there. Deny me, I shouldn't do what I want, and do what he wants. I will do that. I will take up my cross. Well, his answer is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? It is not difficult to do what God asked you to do. We think that. Your flesh has convinced you that it's harder to do it God's way than it is to do it your way. Your flesh has you convinced that the hardest way to live is to live for Jesus Christ. And that it's just so hard to do. And it's so hard to succeed. And it's so hard to make happen. Okay, so Christ's a liar? Wasn't his statement that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? So then what's the difficulty? I'll tell you exactly the difficulty. This is super profound. Are you ready? It's because you're still doing it with your strength and your will and your decide. You're still doing it in your power and none of his. You know why the Christian life is difficult? It is only difficult when you're trying to live it through your flesh as opposed to the Spirit. The ministry is difficult when I'm doing it in my strength and not his. When I'm using my wisdom and not his wisdom. When I'm using my thought process and not his thought process. When it's my way instead of his way. Because his way always gives you victory, doesn't it? And I mean, you know, we do a lot of good things by ourselves. Because we're so good at it. I can't remember a time in my life that I haven't been in church. I got saved at 7. I grew up in this church from the time I was 4. Before that, I was in church where my dad was the pastor. I've been in church my whole life. I don't remember a time in my life when church wasn't part of it. So you know what I know, even as a teenager? I knew how to be when I was at church. I knew how to perform ministry. And if we are not careful, you know what we'll do? We'll perform ministry every time. Because we are extremely good at doing what we know how to do. I talked about a pastor this morning who has done some egregious things and is no longer, and he's under arrest and should be. How does a man's ministry continue while he's doing all these terrible things? I'll tell you how it continues. He's doing it in his strength and his wisdom and his might, and he's hoping not to get caught. Self. That man stopped being a disciple of Jesus Christ before he ever got caught. By the way, you can do a lot in your own strength and in your own might and try to act like it's the Lord. Say, how do you know? I've done it. Haven't we all? You know. You know there's some days you went out and you were witnessing, and if it weren't for the power of God's word, you'd have just done it all in your own strength. You've witnessed to people and told them the gospel, and it was all about what you could tell them. And most of the time, they never get saved that way. But you've got to be dedicated. Hey, I'm going to do this over and over and over again. And every time it's his way versus my way, I'm going to choose his way. I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to dedicate to every chance I can. I'm going to take his way instead of my way. I'm going to use his strength and not my strength. I'm going to use his wisdom and not my wisdom. I'm going to use his thoughts and not my thoughts. I'm going to do it all his way. Take up my cross. Lastly, I'm going to finish up. Some of you are glad it's almost over. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Here's the determination. If you're going to follow him, you actually have to pay attention. If you're following somebody, like, you know, you got all the vehicles, we go up to Youth Ablaze or we go to team camp or we go somewhere and you're just following the crowd, right? You're going and you got the line of vehicles and everything's going on. You have to pay attention to not miss the turn. I mean, most of the way to camp's pretty easy. Most of the way to Youth Ablaze is easy. But boy, if you miss a turn, you can really get messed up. Everybody else turns and you just keep going straight. It takes a little dedication to go, okay, I'm going to follow them. I'm going to pursue after them. I'm going to attempt to go ahead and do everything that they do. Pattern my life after Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him. All right, are you committed to follow his will for your life? Are you determined that God's will is more important than yours? And you're going to follow it? Are you determined that his way is better than your way, so you're going to follow his way instead of your way? Are you going to follow the way that he walks and how he walks and where he walks and what he wants? See, the trouble is this. Most Christians are not committed to anything. They haven't determined that no matter what happens, I'm going to follow him. Well, I'll follow him right up until... I mean, if he asks me to go to the Arctic, I'm not going to go there. I mean, I'll go anywhere but. I love how the Lord likes to just kind of poke that one spot, even if it's just for an instant. He doesn't make you go. He just kind of touches on it and goes, you sure about that? He did it to Peter, didn't he? Hey, Peter, you love me? Lovest thou me more than these, Peter? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Okay. Hey, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, I already told you I love you. Okay, Peter, but really, do you love me more than these? You ever notice how the Lord chooses the things that you love the most? Puts one finger on it and just goes, you sure you love me more than that? He did that with Abraham, didn't he? Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. He says, hey, you willing to give up an Isaac for me? Do you love me that much? Do you love me enough to give that? Do you love me enough to trust me that you can follow me even to there? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Can you trust him walking into a valley like that? Would you follow him in? He's the good shepherd. Can you follow him in? Say, I don't like to go that way. He didn't ask you that. The things he asks you to do are not necessarily the things you want to do, but they're the things he would like you to do. And if he goes with you, what difference does it make? There's a song. I've sung it before. It's not in our hymn book. I would love it to be. It might be in Glorious, but I don't remember if we put it in the little paperback one we started. It's called How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours. When Jesus no longer I see. I don't know, Brother Ian, you know that one, right? It's a beautiful song. Elijah used to love that song. I'd sing it so he'd go to sleep. All my kids have had different songs they like before they go to sleep. And we sing. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim, the fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy in him, December's as pleasant as May. His name yields the richest perfumes, and sweeter than music his voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all within me rejoice. I should, were he always thus nigh, have nothing to wish or to fear. No mortal as happy as I, my summer would last all the year. Dear Lord, if indeed I am thine, if thou art my sun and my song, say, why do I languish and pine, and why are my winters so long? Oh, drive these dark clouds from the sky, thy soul-cheering presence restore. Or take me unto thee on high, where winter and clouds are no more. You know the real trouble is? You forget that with him is always better than without him. We forget that everything that he has done is to bring us near to him. And we are so precious to him. And it's so tedious without him. But with him, prisons would palaces prove. I skipped that verse. But you won't get out of your own way and go ahead and put yourself down. You won't deny you, and you won't deny your will, and you won't put those things down so that he would be preeminent, so that you would go ahead and actually follow him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's go ahead and stand. Maybe you're in here tonight and you say, well, you know, I've made that commitment before. Okay, do you still have that commitment? Are you still following so closely that nobody could distinguish you from your Savior? Or have you let the gap just keep growing? Do you love you and your things and your stuff more than you love Him? Has the Christian life become tedious and tasteless? Maybe it's because you're not with Him. Maybe it's because you just have no desire to follow him. Maybe you need to come and just say, Lord, give me that desire back. I want you. I want to have you. I need you. Okay. God, I know I made some commitments and I've come up and I'm not doing what I told you. I just want you. God, I want to be a real Christian. Make the dedication tonight. Dedicate it again. If any man Lose the excuses and go ahead and just say, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Father, please bless us tonight. Lord, I know some have come. I pray others would. And Lord, you know who you're talking to, and they know who they're getting, who you're speaking with. Father, they know. But now's the time to choose. This is the moment of the message where it's on them now to choose. If they're going to be the disciple you're asking them to be, or if they're going to continue to do everything that they always seem to do and deny you one more time. Elevate self over you one more time. I pray that wouldn't be the case. Father, bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Andrew, if you would.